Where else can you go and spend an hour thinking about Calvary and thinking about all the things surrounding Calvary, Jesus and sin and righteousness and judgment? I hope you've been able to soak that in as we've fellowshipped here this morning, as we've sang some songs and as we've read the Bible, and now as we preach from Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. This sermon is going to add to what you and I have already experienced in this hour, that is to help us think about God. I mean, just zero in on Him, like a laser beam. Just our thoughts are just completely focused upon Him. We need that, don't we? We're distracted by other things in the world. We think about a lot, but we need a time where we can concentrate upon God. And I'm glad that we have that time this morning to do that. So from Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 through the last verse, verse 1, I'm still preaching on back to the basic doctrines that are found in the first three chapters of the Bible. And the doctrine that I'm preaching on this morning is centered in God's creation, of course, because that's the theme of Genesis chapter 1. But it's a doctrine that needs to be repeated. We've already referred to it once, but we need to hit it again because the Bible hits it again. And so it is the doctrine of providence. And I want you to see from verses 29 through 31 how providence, God providing for His creation, is illustrated. It's one thing to teach a doctrine, but it's another thing to see it in action. And when you see it in action, then that doctrine has wheels. Now it's got traction. Now it can move. It's not just something in your mind, but now you can see it and you can feel it in your heart, and you can see it lived out in your life as well. So providence, technically, is this. This is the definition of providence that we covered when we went through that little book, the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. Providence simply means that God, from eternity, He has either decreed or He permits all things that come to pass. Not only does He decree or permit them to come to pass, but He perpetually upholds them and directs and governs all creatures in all events, yet so as not to be in any wise the author of sin. Sin is present in God's world, but He's not the author of it, nor to destroy the free agency and responsibility of intelligent creatures. So what it boils down to is this: God is superintending and governing every single thing in your life. You believe that? Have you seen that worked out in your life as well? I mean, it's not just a theory, is it? It's not just a teaching, but it's something that actually happens every single day, doesn't it? That God provides for you. He governs and superintends your life. Well, if He does that, then that should give us reason every single day to give God praise, to give Him glory, to thank Him for that. So, let me ask a couple of volunteers then from the audience just to think of one or two things that God has already provided for you today that you and I can give Him thanks for. So as you're thinking about these things in your mind, let me read you the text, verses 29 through 31, and I want you to think about how God has providentially shown Himself to you today. What has He decreed, or what has He directed or governed for your good and for His glory? So let's see how He did it on day 6 of creation. And verse 29, it says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food or for meat, as the King James Version says. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for their food or their meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So from this text, we see God's providence has been manifested, first of all, in creation, in verses 29 through 30. And we'll talk just a little bit about how God has provided specifically for humanity in verse 29 and creatures in verse 30. And then we will see in verse 31, God's evaluation of this good creation. So as we read those verses, we've seen God providentially caring for humanity and creatures. Give me an example or two of how God has providentially provided for you today, so far.
Well, at age 90, he's provided for me.
Hallelujah.
More than I can thank him.
Amen.
To get to know people like Bill Sullivan and others that's passed on.
Yeah.
Blessed me immensely. I praise him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Don. We rejoice with you, and we weep with you too because of God's goodness. Amen. Tears of joy, right? Yes, amen. That's awesome. Well, can anybody top that one? But can anybody add to that one then? How about that?
Just safe travels. Every time we get in the car, kids in the car, and have to travel no matter where we go.
Amen. Amen. What else? Has anybody had a piece of fruit here today yet? For breakfast or anything?
Banana, yeah.
Yeah? You know where that banana came from? From God.
Oh.
From Kroger or Walmart. We get that. But
Aldi,
or Aldi. Ultimately, it came because God says, I want a banana tree so my creatures can have a banana. Yeah. Anything else? Have you had a cup of coffee this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where'd that coffee bean come from? The good Lord. Amen. Now, that coffee bean is cursed, as we'll see in a moment. But just think how good coffee's going to taste in heaven. No curse. I don't know. That might be part of the curse. I don't know. Not sure. But God's providence is all around us, folks. And you and I would be a fool to say that the things that we enjoy is a direct result of God's care for us, His fatherly kindness to us. Everything in life. And we would be amiss if we did not give Him glory for it. Thank you, God, for a banana. And thank you, Lord, for a cup of coffee. And thank you, God, for 90 years of life. And thank you, God, for all of that. That's more than enough reason to give Him praise, glory, and honor. And the reason He gave us these things is not because we are good, but it's because our good God cares for us and provides for us. So let's look here in verse 29 and 30 then and see how God's provision for creation takes place. And under this one heading, there are two aspects of creation that God specifically cared for, and that is His provision for humanity in verse 29, and then His provision for creatures in verse 30. Now, keep in mind, all this is before the fall. So creation is intact. It is not only good, it is very good. It is right. It is something to be desired. That's what the word good means. It means it's right or desirable. And so God has made it good because a good God can only make good things. But He makes it good so that you and I will just stand amazed at God's creation and hopes that that will in turn reflect us to stand amazed in the God who made this good creation. That's what it's all about. God made things to reflect His glory and His honor, to help us just stand in awe of Him, not necessarily the things He made, although we stand in amazed of that as well, don't we? But to stand amazed of Him is an incredible event. So how is it that God feeds us as creatures? Well, before the fall, before the curse came on to humanity and creation and all of it, man was designed to eat from every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food or for meat. So before the fall, before sin comes into the world, Adam and Eve ate bananas and apples and cantaloupes and watermelons and pineapples and any other thing that you can think of that grows from a tree or from a plant or from a bush. Now, they were, I guess in the strict sense then, vegetarians. Is that how they define vegetarians? Is there a difference between a vegetarian and a vegan? What's the difference between the vegetarian and the vegan, Eli? Doesn't eat what? All right. You got anything to that, Sophia? Okay, all right. So there's a little bit of difference between the two. But here, they were given the idea that if you're hungry, go to that tree and pick you something to eat. Go to that bush or go to that plant and pull it out of the ground and eat that as well. Now, I'm not advocating becoming a vegan or a vegetarian. I would be hypocritical if I was, because I like meat and I like it a lot. But maybe that's part of the curse. Maybe we're part of the curse is we eat things that we probably shouldn't be eating. But God provided for humanity to have enough sustaining food to live a life and to live it in harmony with the body that God made and the world in which He put him. Everything that man needed from the very beginning was found on a tree or a bush or a plant. Because death had not entered the scene yet, because sin hasn't come, no animals had been killed, no one had died yet because God had made everything. That comes later on, and so that could figure into the factor as well. But when you and I look at this wonderful provision that God has made for humanity, isn't it wonderful to know that the good Lord has made enough good things to sustain His good creatures? That is providence. That's Him providing for us. So that's how He provided for humanity. But then look in verse 30, and we see God providing not for humanity, but for the animals. And so what did He provide for the animals to eat? Other animals? No, that's not the case at all before the fall. He provided those green herbs. I've given every green herb for food, and it was so for the animals. So think about what every creature needs to eat in order to survive. Yesterday, we were at an event at Blackberry Hollow, which is a pretty cool little place to go if you want to pick blackberries on your own. You got to go once in season, though. Got a few little walking trails, and they got some one area where there's a lot of flowers are being grown, like zinnias and what other kind of flower? Yeah, there you go. So you can go there and cut your own flowers, and they can arrange a little pot for you. It's a pretty cool little place. While we were there, this little bitty, it couldn't have been longer than an inch, creature was found on a piece of paper. It looked like a centipede, but it didn't look like a centipede. It had two long antennae on the front with two little black dots on each end. Then on the back, it had a little fork thing coming out with two prongs on it. On top of this little creature were five white dots. And then on the side of the body, there were just little fingers all over it. I think I saw a couple of black specks that may have represented eyes on this thing or not. I don't know what it was. But Sarah found it. And then she asked me, she says, "Dad, what is this?" I said, "I have no idea. I've never seen anything like that before." But I asked Sarah, I said, "But do you know how that thing got here?" She said, "Of course." I said, "Well, God spoke that into existence. He didn't have to make it out of dirt. He didn't have to make things in order to make that. God spoke that little creature into existence." And the next thing I thought of was, what does this thing eat? How does it stay alive? And my only guess is that it eats leaves or things on leaves, or it certainly doesn't eat shake-ups and crumbs of hot dogs that we had around, but it's not big enough for that. But I'm just marveling at this little bitty creature that God made. And the only two people that day on this planet who were aware of that particular creature was me and Sarah. And the Lord, of course. But for God to make something that small, and that little small thing to be able to turn our thoughts toward God, is exactly why that little whatever it is was created. Look at that and think about and marvel at God's wisdom and God's creative power. And if God can take care of a little bitty one inch, whatever it is, then God can certainly take care of me. Amen? And that's what creation's all about. It's a good creation to make us think about a good God and a good life that He has prepared for us if we are wise enough to find it. So God's providence reflects the original peace and order of creation. It was all working together. Man was here. Creatures were here. There was no war. There was no fighting. There was no death. There was no sin. And everything that man and the creatures needed were provided for them by God through creation. And that has to be a good thing. And so when God got through looking at all of it, He said, not only is it good, not only is it right, not only is it desirable, but it is indeed very good. That's where we get to in verse 31. Here's God's evaluation of His creation. So imagine the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost talking to each other after creation on day six. They created man. And try to imagine, if you're a fly on the wall, the conversation they were having amongst each other. And the Son says to the Father, "You did a good job." And the Holy Ghost, who's hovering over all this as well, chimed in and says, "Oh, it was better than good. It was very good." It's a creation that reflects who we are as the three persons in the Godhead. And so this will be an eternal reminder to all of God's creatures that they are not here by accident. They are not here by some failed experiment, but they are here by design. And if there's a design, then there's a purpose for it as well. And this wonderful design that God has created manifests the purpose of creation, and that is to glorify and honor our great God. That's why Paul wrote and says, make sure that in everything that you do, whether it's eating or whether it's drinking, everything you do, make sure you do it for the glory of God. So you need to learn to eat a banana for the glory of God. You need to learn to look at a little creature for the glory of God. Everything in this life reminds us of God's wonderful and amazing providence. So based on these three things, God creating for the humans and God creating for the creatures and then God's evaluation of the creation leads me to challenge you to do three things. Number one, praise God for His sovereignty and His providence. Every chance you get, talk about God being the great creator. Don't give those evolution folks one iota of an inch. Don't believe any of it, and don't take any of it as the truth or the gospel. You praise God for being the sovereign God who made this world and the providential God who keeps it for His glory and for His honor. Don't dare rob Him of any of His glory by thinking that we got here some other way other than direct creation from our sovereign God. Number two, we need to steward His creation. If God has indeed made this world and it's a good world, then you and I need to be good stewards of it. We need to take care of this, what God has given us. And that means we can exercise a little bit of dominion over this stewardship that God has given us. So plant an apple tree or a peach tree and enjoy God's goodness because of that. Or visit those apple orchards or those peach orchards and pick some on your own and enjoy that good fruit as well. So steward the land, steward the growth of the land that is made to provide for us as well. And then number three, when you and I look at this great creation, and when we see it now under a curse and under a ruin, it still reflects the image of God, but not like it did in its glory days. Not like before sin came in. So what you and I should do now is that you and I should hope in redemption. One day, Jesus is coming again. And that can't be soon enough. Amen. Many great things are going to happen when Jesus comes again. The dead are going to be raised to have that immortal, that incorruptible body. God's going to exercise His dominion once and for all over death, over the grave as well. All believers will be gathered together in heaven to eternally worship and praise the great triune God. No doubt about that whatsoever. When Jesus Christ comes, He'll put an end to sin and to misery and death and all those things that come with it. So you and I, when we look at this good creation, it reminds us that even though it's cursed right now, there's coming a day where the curse will be lifted. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and guess who gets to enjoy it forever? Me and you. Me and you. Imagine living in a place, no problems, no sin, no worry, no fret, no aching bodies, no sickness, no disease, no death, no tears of sorrow, no pain and no misery. That's what heaven is going to be like. And just as creation now groans to be redeemed, like Paul says in Romans chapter 8, you and I groan as well to be delivered to a place where sin and its consequences are no more. Amen? And when we get there and enjoy all of God's creations, I'm going to ask Him, what was that little creature that we saw? And what is your name that you gave him that? because it made me think of you. And I'm just interested in that little creature's name, among other things as well. Well, let's pray and thank God for His good creation, especially how He provides for it. And let's work better to give Him more glory for it. Our Father, we thank You and praise You that You've rescued us from our sins. You spared us from Your wrath because You poured Your wrath out upon Your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, You have filled us with Your Spirit. You have sealed us with Your Spirit as well. And now it's Your desire and design to make us more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that You have created that reminds us of this goal, of this desire, is this is creation. When we look at every aspect of creation, it reminds us that You are the sovereign God. You are the God of providence, and You are working in us and through us to make us more like Christ. We need to think more like Jesus. We need to talk more like Him. We need to act more like Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank You that You remind us of these things through Your good, Your very good creation. And so this week, as we go about our lives, and when something comes into our lives to cause us to fret or to worry or to get anxious, we pray that we'll be reminded through creation that You are the God who is providentially caring for everything. Nothing comes our way unless it's been decreed or unless it's been permitted. And it's going to be used for our good and for Your glory. Help us to rest in that, knowing that You are the sovereign provider of us. And then those in this audience who are still lost and undone without Christ, we pray that You would use this sermon as another way to plant another seed or to water a seed to bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give You thanks for all this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.